This is part B of You Can Please God. We're here in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2. For by this kind of faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were made from things that are invisible, which is a true scientific statement today. They still don't know what matter really is. And they just finished building the greatest kaleidoscope in the world in Europe. I think they spent $17 billion doing it to see if they can take the smallest known particles and have them going around the cyclotron and hopefully to collide and to see if for a split second that they can create fusion. And yet I bet every one of those scientists believe in evolution. And you look out at the heavens and how many suns are there out there, stars, all run by fusion continuously. Oh, that just evolved. But yet, how much work did it take in 17 years to build to try and get one speck? Okay, so we understand that. Okay, verse 4. By faith, which means he did what was right, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because Cain did it his way. Abel did it God's way. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, though he died, he is yet speaking. Now that's something with the Word of God you need to understand. The Word of God always speaks. When Moses was talking to the Pharisees, not Moses, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about Moses, I'll get it straight here. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about Moses, he said that had you believed Moses, for he wrote of me. And he also talks in the present tense of Moses says. Now let's carry that through with the New Testament. Jesus told the apostles the day he ascended into heaven, the 40th day, he said, you are to be witnesses of me, beginning in Jerusalem and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, or to the end of the earth. Now, they never got there, did they? But their words did, didn't they? So they speak today. And that's what's so fantastic about the Word of God, because it's just not the printed word. As Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And are always active and always working, just like the law of gravity. Always active and always working, but you never hear it, you never see it, unless you can see the northern lights or the equivalent in the southern hemisphere. Now notice verse 5. By faith, Enoch was transported so that he would not look upon death, and was not found because God had transported him. For before his departure, it was testified of him that he pleased God. Now, we can please God if we do it his way, but we have to choose to do so. See? He pleased God. Now here, verse 6 is a key important thing we should never, ever forget. Now without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's quite a statement, isn't it? For it is mandatory. Now, if you want to come to God, as we started out, it is mandatory for the one who comes to God to believe that He exists. Now, not only that He exists, but everything about Him that is revealed in the Bible is true. God exists. Now, remember what James wrote about the demons. He said, if you believe in one God, you do well. The demons do and tremble. But they're not willing to obey. Now notice, continuing, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Meaning it's an active, spiritual, ongoing way of life and mind and heart and love and service continually. Now, the way we have to look at life is this, and I try and keep this in mind always. I have nothing I didn't receive. There's no goodness apart what comes from God, even in a carnal sense. Our lives are totally dependent upon God and His creation. We live on the earth. We have to eat food. God is the one who causes all of these things to be. And isn't it an amazing thing? Jesus said that a man plants a seed and he waters it and he watches it day and night as it grows, but he doesn't know how it grows. You know, that is still a true statement today. So much for the great minds of the world, you see. So our lives are totally dependent upon God. So, in seeking to do the things that God wants us to do, what we do today that is good and right, we're thankful for. What we do that is not, we repent of. All right? And if you have a problem and difficulty today, don't carry it over till tomorrow. Why do you want to spoil 2 days? One day is quite sufficient, isn't it? Yes. Likewise, do not look back in the past and relive all of that, because that's over and done. And you can't change it and you can't repair it. See? So you diligently seek God and seek His way, God the Father and Jesus Christ, with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Okay. Now, every one of these, when you go through by faith, every time it says by faith, let's read the next one, and we'll go on from there. By faith, Noah, after being divinely instructed by God about the things he could not yet see, was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's not like Cosby, you know, oompa, oompa, oompa. Ah, is that you, Lord? Remember that? I want you to build an ark. An impossible thing, but he did it. Every time there is faith, faith is followed by believing action. Because faith without works is dead. Now let's carry on a little bit further and see what we can do in serving and pleasing God. Let's see what Jesus said. Come here to John the 8th chapter. John 8. I think the book of John has so much in it spiritually that after we read the Bible and go through it and read the book of John, study it and come through it and go back through it again and again and again, we learn more and more and more because it's a little here, a little there, precept upon precept, etc. Okay. John 8. Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 23. And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That is why I said to you that you shall die in your sins if you do not believe that I am." And he was telling them straight out that he was God in the flesh. "If you don't believe that, you shall die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "The one that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I speak in the world." But they did not know that he was speaking to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourselves shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, these things I speak." Very interesting. When you put all the scriptures together, along with Isaiah the 40th chapter, God the Father was teaching Jesus every morning from the time he was an infant. He didn't go to school with the rest of the Jews. Father taught him. "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone because I always do the things that please him." Now let's stop and ask a question. Since Jesus always does the things that please the Father, if you have the Spirit of God in you and you're developing the mind of Christ, can you please God? Of course. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to contemplate? That God delights in you, that God is pleased with you, that God loves you, that God wants you, that God has called you, and you have this great relationship that you can have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Tremendous thing. Now, with this, let's use this as a basis for putting aside all the carnal little things that get in the way of it, you see? We can please God. Jesus always did, and so can we. Now let's see what we need to do to please God. All right, let's come to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And even Paul wrote of this. Verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4. "Now then, as for the rest, brethren, we are beseeching and exhorting you in the Lord Jesus, even as you have received from us, how you are duty-bound to walk and to please God." Yes, we can please God. "And that you would abound still more. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." That's how we can please God. If we do the things that Jesus told us to do, if we love God, if we keep his commandments, we can please God. And when we do, it's a humbling experience. It's not one of these things, "Oh, look what I did," and you put your thumbs in your suspender straps or whatever. Okay. All right. Now let's come to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. And here we are told directly that we can please God. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 1 because we want to set the scene for what he tells us later. We won't get into the other verses. We'll go verses 1 through 3, and then we'll jump ahead from there. Verse 1. Now, here's a tremendous verse that we need to always keep and keep in mind and live by. Now, let me just tell you this. If you ever get discouraged and down, which we do from time to time, don't we? Yes. And there may even come a point in your life, as I'm sure it already has, as it has with me, that you get so discouraged that you just walk out someplace and you say, "Oh God, heal my soul." Okay? And God will do that. But the way that you keep your focus and you keep your understanding is never lose sight of verses 1 through 3. "Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this very reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved," now here's the goal, here's the focus, you see. Now, let's also keep this in mind from this point of view. We're all getting older day by day, aren't we? And there are brethren that are crossing the finish line. That is, they pass away, they die, enter into their rest, which is their place of safety. And when we get to the point, as we are getting older, we get weaker, we have disabilities, we can't remember like we really would like to, we can't walk the way we would like to, we certainly can't run, you know. And yet God is pleased with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. It does not matter what the problem or difficulty is you are going through. Christ is in you. The Father is in you. You are the children of God. And God loves you. And you love Him. And that can please God. So always keep that in mind. "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Now, we can think about this a little bit, can't we? "But we know that when He is manifested, we shall be like Him." Isn't that something? That, brethren, is the completed work of God, to be like Christ. "Because we shall see Him exactly as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure," by loving and serving God. Now come down to verse 16. "By this very act," that is, of having the Spirit of God, "we have known the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ourselves are to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now here's something that pleases God as well. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his feelings of compassion from him, how can the love of God be dwelling in him? My little children, we should not love in word nor with our tongues. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth." In this way, now I want you to notice the self-verifying and affirming of the Word of God. "In this way we know." Now when you study the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, there are 37 things you are to know. Here's one of them. We know that we are of the truth, because you prove all things. You believe the word of God. You have the faith of Christ. And shall assure our hearts before Him. Have confidence that if our hearts condemn us because we fall short and have sins, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. So you don't have to go around with a guilty conscience. You don't have to go around with a frustration complex, as it were. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us because of repentance and loving God, we have confidence toward God. Now notice verse 22. Very key verse. And whatever we may ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in His sight. And those things that are pleasing in His sight are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. Those are all good. That's all part of the love of God, you see. That pleases God. Now think about it for a minute. On the Sabbath day, the day in which God puts His presence, whether you're alone or whether with other brethren, if you are there in peace and harmony in God's Spirit and you're wanting God's Word and truth and you're studying it and you're understanding it, God's Spirit is there in the midst of you as well as within you because Jesus promised that He would be. See, so therefore, the Sabbath day, if we use it correctly and with the Spirit of God, it becomes the greatest day of the week. Now, that's a marvelous thing. That's pleasing in God's sight. Verse 23, and this is His commandment that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as He gave commandment to us. And how is that done? Verse 24, the one who keeps His commandments is dwelling in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He is dwelling in us by the Spirit He has given to us. Now that's really quite a wonderful and tremendous thing, isn't it? Now let's look at some things that are pleasing to God for those who are teachers and ministers, because there are things that we need to understand with that as well. All right, let's come to the book of Galatians. What is one thing that kills a church?
Hierarchy.
Let's rename it. Politics. Okay? Now, Paul was an anti-politician. Galatians, the first chapter. And people start getting off the beam and going their own way when they start respecting people and pleasing people over the Word of God and over the way that God says we are to do it. Now, this is why it's very important that when anyone is teaching, who's a minister or elder or whatever, that you understand the greater responsibility and condemnation and judgment is upon us, and what are we to do? Preach the Word of God, first responsibility. Then we are not to respect persons. All right? Let's see something here. Galatians 1, let's pick it up here in verse 6. I am astonished. Now, we have seen this happen too, haven't we? And were you not astonished when it happened? I am astonished that you are so quickly turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which in reality is not another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. You think that's pleasing to God? No, of course not. But if we, or even an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel to you that is contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. As we have said before, I also now say again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Now then, am I striving to please men or God? This applies to every one of us, but in particularly to those who are teaching. Or am I motivated to please men? For if I am yet pleasing men, I would not be the servant of God. Very clear instructions as to what we are to do. Now let's look at some other things that we are also to do. Romans, the 15th chapter. Let's see how our lives are to be. This is why Jesus said, you're not to exalt yourself over the brethren, but you're to serve them, you're to love them, you're to teach them the word of God, you see. Because what you're dealing with, the effectiveness of the teaching and preaching of anyone who is a teacher is based upon how much he really loves God and how he's serving God and how he's serving the brethren the way that God wants him to be. All right? Romans 15 and verse 1. Now you who are strong in the faith are obligated to support the ones who are weak and not to please ourselves. Very important. Accordingly, let each one of us please his neighbor for good unto edification. And here is the example, verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, rather, as it is written, the reproaches of those who are reproaching you have fallen upon me. So put it all on Christ. For all these things that were written before were written for our instruction so that through patient endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the next two verses tells us what we are to be together. Now may the God of patience and endurance encouragement grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And that comes from God's Spirit, that comes from God's love, that comes from the Word of God, that comes from living and serving and helping each other, so that with one accord and one mouth we may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, and see again some instructions here. And then you can put in your notes there, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and the book of Titus. Okay? 1st Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. Verse 4. But even as we were approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Whoa, that says a lot, doesn't it? That's quite a statement. So, as we find in Timothy, 1 Timothy, we are stewards, and a steward is one who uses his master's goods and wealth to benefit the master. Belongs to him. See? What would happen if Congress did that? Oh, what a different thing it would be, right? Yes. What if the churches did that? What if every minister did that? Entrusted with the gospel, we should speak in this manner, as those who please not men, but God who proves the heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words with you, even as you know, nor a cover for covetousness. God is our witness. Nor were we seeking glory from men, neither from you nor from others, though as Christ's apostles we had the power to be burdensome, and that was to collect tithes and offerings. But he didn't do it because he wanted to set an example for them. Now let's come to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see the whole goal and purpose of how we can please God and the aim and the goal of it here. Ephesians 4. Now you probably heard some of these scriptures applied many times in the past, but we won't apply it that way. Because remember, the Apostle Paul said he thought that God set the apostles as last, as the offscouring and the laughing stock of the world. So don't anyone volunteer to be an apostle. Look out. You may find yourself in trouble. Okay? Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now these are not to prophesy the future necessarily. That's possible. But more importantly, a telling forth of the word of God rather than a foretelling of events. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Here's the goal. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the upbuilding. The upbuilding. So when any have problems and troubles, help them with it. Don't condemn them. Help them. I remember we had a man who was just terribly obnoxious. I mean, it was almost an insult to be around him every time he came around. Now, it's hard to have someone like that within a group. But with patience and with forbearance and getting to know him and understanding what his problems really were, and through prayer and through direct participation in helping him to overcome those problems, he is completely a changed person. You could take the other approach and say, boy, you know that guy over there? I want to tell you, stay away from him. He's really kind of a, I don't want to say it. But, you know, I think even one person one day was so disgusted, called him a jerk. Now that same person says, well, you know, he's really kind of nice now. See? So that's how we are to treat each other with the problems and difficulties, see? Did God call all of us with all of our problems and difficulties? Yes, indeed. Did he reject us? No. Did he condemn us? Well, enough so we could repent, correct? Yes. Because he wants us to overcome. And the best way to overcome is that you have encouragement of God's word and that you give hope to them. And that you help them understand and realize why God has called them and where they're going and what they are doing. This is what God wants. All right, let's continue on here. Edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, that's a lofty goal, isn't it? But that's why we're here. That's what God wants us to do, you see. Will that be pleasing to God? Can we all then please God? Yes, indeed. You know, think about it with us all here today. With God's Spirit, do we all have a mind of wanting to please God and do what is right? Yes. That's what God wants us to have all the time. That's the whole purpose, you see. And here's another thing that is important. And understand this. God is not going to get us in the kingdom of God by beating us into it. He wants us to be inspired into it. And to be inspired with the Holy Spirit to do it God's way, which uplifts and upbuilds and overcomes. That's what God wants. And I think I'm correct in saying that's how we all feel right now, isn't it? Yes, indeed. And that's why when we get together on the Sabbath like this and we ask God's presence to be here, He is here. And if we are teaching the Word of God and loving each other, God is pleased. God is delighted. And then He gives us all of His Spirit and encouragement even more. That when we leave, we can go home and say, God really inspired us today. Not because of who we are, but because of who and what God the Father and Jesus Christ are and what they want to do for us, you see. Now that's something. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. An eternal goal, a lifelong pursuit. So that we no longer be children tossed and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of the error. That's why doctrine is important. But holding the truth in love, may in all things grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. Now let's think about this and see what Christ is doing with the body. Because Christ is working with His people wherever they are, you see. From whom all the body, fitly framed and compacted together by that which every joint supplies. And if you have any aching joints, you know every joint is necessary, right? Yes. All of us are necessary. God has called all of us to this task. According to the inner working in the measure of each individual part. Because the work of God is not a church, it's not an organization, it is what God is doing in everyone that He has called. Notice. Is making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And brethren, if we do that, you can please God, I can please God, every single one of us. And that will encourage you, lift your heart and mind and spirit, and lift the burdens and cares that pull you down. Okay? I'll be here. We know that you're soon going to embark on a very difficult assignment. And we appreciate your love and service in doing it. Now I'm sure we'll all pray for you. But when you are there and danger is confronting you, ask God for His protection and His angels about you. Because the help of the angels of God in the battle against evil will strengthen you, and miraculous things will happen, even on the battlefield that seem almost impossible. Because God Himself is also a warrior against evil. And if you keep that in mind, and pray that prayer every day, you'll make it back to see your baby. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.